are a group of Honors Program students from Central Michigan University. Throughout this past week, we have been inspired by the kind culture and the one-of-a-kind history here. Keeping with the tradition of oral history on this island, tonight we will be performing audio dramatizations of these Beaver Island voices from the past, both fictional and non, based on stories from your island. This is the first time many of our students have written, produced, and performed audio drama live. You will see us generating homemade sound effects and reading lines, but unlike a theater production, only our voices will be constructing the story around you. In the course of our research, we came across an old cookbook filled with recipes from people around the island. The eclectic names and ingredients immediately caught our attention. Throughout the show, dramatized advertisements for some of these recipes will be sprinkled between the vignettes as a kind of palate cleanser. We hope you find them as amusing as we do.
Our first story is A Grand Mirage, as written by Seraphine Hintz. This tale is based on the true story of the Cables Bay Hotel, a hotel which was meant to compete with the popular Mackinac Grand Hotel. Construction of this hotel was, however, abandoned in 1919 after many thefts and a tragic death befell the project. In this dramatization, Alex and Sam are on a couple's bonding trip and decide to go kayaking on Beaver Island. When at sea, a violent storm forces them to shore where a magnificent and mysterious hotel stands.
Ah, here it is. Alex Wundermeyer for two kayaks.
Yep, one for me and one for my fiancé, Sam Bagan.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, where are you two planning on going?
Oh, we plan on going where the water takes us. The opportunities are endless.
All right, then. Well, you two be careful out there. There was a mention of a storm within the next couple of hours, so just keep your eyes out for that.
Of course we will.
Sure thing.
It sure is nice out here. The water is so calm.
Yeah, feels like the boat could rock me to sleep.
Yeah. You aren't concerned about the storm, though, right?
It was probably just the shopkeep trying to get us to return the rentals before too late in the afternoon. Google told me to expect clear skies for today, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'm just being paranoid. But, like, what if it is true? Let me check my phone.
Sam, I'm sure it's not.
I can't get reception anywhere on this island.
Calm down, Sam. There's not a cloud in sight.
What about that?
What?
Look at the sky behind you.
Oh, okay. Well, wait, yeah. No, that's pretty bad. I've never seen clouds that color before, so we should probably head to shore.
To shore? How are we supposed to get to shore from all the way out here?
I'm sure we're not that far. Let's just... what time is it? Where am I? Sam? Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just had the strangest dream that we were kayaking, and then this wave came and... Oh, my peanut butter and jelly, where are we?
I don't think we went too far. We have to still be on the island.
Which island?
Ah!
Oh, pardon me. I had no intentions of startling you two. I'd seen you both washed to shore and wanted to ascertain if you were well.
I guess we're okay.
A little cold, though.
No worries. I can go and obtain some warm beverages for you. Stay here and I shall return shortly.
Well, that was a bit odd. I didn't know people lived this close to the shore. This area seems pretty deserted. I guess if you live in a mansion like that, though, you would definitely want to have your own space.
Wait, that's not a mansion. That's a hotel.
What?
Yeah. If you look, there's a lobby and stories of bedrooms.
I don't remember seeing this in the blogs about where to stay on the island. Had I known, this would have definitely been my first choice.
Yeah, it's definitely fancy. Did you notice that red circle on her head, too? Almost looked like she'd been in an accident of some sort.
That sure was weird.
We can ask her about it. Hey, miss, what's the name of that hotel?
Oh, that hotel? My father was the mind behind that project, actually. Have you folks ever been to Mackinac?
Of course. Uh-huh.
Well, we here felt that we could take their fancy grand hotel and bring it to Beaver Island, so there it is.
Wow, so pretty.
It sure is beautiful.
Well, you folks are here for tea, and as promised, here it is.
This is some quite nice china. Thank you, miss.
I'm sorry, the set doesn't match. We've been having some issues with folks on the island coming and stealing our wares. However, when competing with the Grand, no expense can be spared on fine china.
Certainly. Thank you.
That hotel really does look astonishing. I don't remember seeing anything about it online. Can we go inside?
Online? If you're looking to fish, it would likely be best to ask Mrs. Reading about that. As the hotel is concerned... I'm terribly sorry, but it seems I have to go now. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Wait, why do you have to go?
Hello, folks! Hello! I'd gotten a call about some missing kayaks. Seems I found them and the people responsible for their disappearance.
Oh, we are so sorry, sir. We were about to go back to the shore before the storm hit if it wasn't for someone ignoring the weather. Luckily, we weren't alone, though. This nice lady made us feel welcome.
Wait, what? We were just about to go into that hotel, so we would have been fine, but thanks for your help.
Hotel?
What hotel?
The one right... Well, where did it go?
I don't know.
You need a ride to the north? I can take your kayaks with you.
Well, I guess so. That sounds excellent. Thank you.
And now, an ad.
What's that you're eating there, Sally?
It's a cookie, silly.
A cookie? No way! It looks like one large rectangle flattened out with a fork. What's in it?
Just egg, sugar, and peanut butter. So simple, am I right?
You are so right. That's wild. I can't believe that's a cookie.
Believe it. The super simple I can't believe it's a cookie is coming to a kitchen near you soon. This recipe and others like it can be found in the Beaver Island Firefighters Cookbook.
Next up, we have a story about Father Peter Gallagher, a native priest here on Beaver Island. He was a Catholic priest during the late 1800s. He immigrated from Ireland to Philadelphia when he was 17 and came to Beaver Island when he was only 31. In this next audio drama, we present a dramatized version of an occasion when Father Gallagher got into a fist fight with a man in the Church of St. Ignatius, as well as a scene where his parishioners took dramatic steps to keep their Gaelic-speaking priest on the island when his job was in jeopardy. While the reason for the fist fight in the church is unknown, the parishioners' motivation to protect their favorite priest was real. Please enjoy The Fight for Father Gallagher, as presented by Veronica Gregory.
Hey, Owen, that new priest, Father Peter Gallagher? He's pretty young, isn't he? About the age of some of the lads here on the island? I thought I saw him dancing in the crowd with the Donegal boys at the party last weekend.
Yeah, Jolin, he's only 31. Pretty young. I heard he just got ordained. I wonder if they might have rushed it all.
Bishop Berriga must think we on the island need a priest so badly, we'll take this half-baked lad from Philadelphia.
I heard it was hard enough for him to win over the northern parish at Holy Cross 2 weeks ago. The south end here will be an even tougher crowd.
We'll see that, Father Gallagher, on his way if he can't serve the island parish well.
Look, there he is.
Hello, laddies. Good to meet the two of you. What a couple of friendly-looking faces in front of me, congregation. Wish me luck, won't you?
Sure, Father.
Thanks, lads. Good morning, everyone. Ye are ye of Armayan.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph, is that Gaelic?
I haven't heard that since I immigrated from Ireland.
Ha, so we have a priest who can speak Gaelic. So what? I heard he's not even ordained.
Who said that? Which one of you said that?
It's Henry McCann from the Cooper Shop downtown, and I'm not sticking around to hear some altar boy give my Sunday sermon.
Mr. McCann, I'll have you know I was ordained by Bishop Berriga himself. I've made myself properly a priest, and now I'm your priest. And you're in my church, so you can just sit yourself down.
I thought we were getting a real properly trained priest.
You can just shut your mouth, McCann!
And what if I don't? Why don't you just leave the church and go back to school, boyo?
Henry McCann, if you don't think I'm a priest, you can I'll fight you, and you can prove it to me!
Oh-ho, are you saying you think you can't be touched because you're a wee little altar boy?
Are you starting? Come on now, McCann, put up your dukes!
Okay, is the priest really gonna fight one of his own parishioners?
I guess it's his way of making sure he makes an impact on the community.
Look, there he goes. Oh, McCann just took a swing at Father Gallagher.
McCann nearly hit him.
But look now. Father Gallagher got him on the nose.
There's blood all over the floor. McCann's running away. Woo! Good on you, Father.
What a punch.
I think we'll have Mass a bit later today, and somewhere else to boot.
Peace be with all you. Have a nice Sunday.
Good morning, Father.
How's that holy right hook of righteousness, Father?
Good morning, lads. It's been doing fine. Haven't used it in a good while.
How are those two horses you won at the marksmanship contest this weekend?
They're fine.
And thanks for the introduction to Miss Donegal. We might be asking you to marry us before summertime.
Julen, that's wonderful.
You know, the island is really lucky to have you.
Oh, thank ya. Well, take your seats, boys. I've got an announcement for everyone. Everyone! Ishtalom! I'm honored to announce that we'll be hosting the new Bishop of Marquette, Bishop Mrak, on our island for some time. He's coming to check on the parish, check on how I'm doing as your priest, actually. So this might be our last mass together.
What's this bishop checking on? Old man McCann had no idea what he was talking about. We all know you're trained and ordained as a priest.
Well, I know the basics. That Bishop Mrak's already retired to other priests like me.
But he can't retire you. You're the best priest we've ever had.
Yeah!
Oh, and everyone, thank you. If I had my way, I'd stay on this island with all of you. But it's up to the bishop.
No, Julen. We've got to make sure Father Gallagher stays on this island.
It's up to us. All right, Owen, there's the boat with the bishop on board. It's just docking.
I can see the captain. He's coming down the dock. Grab him, Julen.
Hey, Owen, Julen, it's me. It's just Jamie Donegal.
Well, Jamie, you're the person we want to talk to.
You know you brought the bishop over?
Of course I know I brought the bishop over.
Sorry to tell you this, Jamie, but you're going to have to take him back to the mainland.
What? No, I won't. We just got here.
You've got to take him back, or else we'll set your boat on fire.
On fire?
We've got gasoline and matches right here, Jamie.
Now hold on, you lads. Isn't this a bit crazy? I need my boat.
The bishop is here to take Father Gallagher off the island, Jamie. We don't want that. Do you?
No, but how am I supposed to get the bishop back on the ship? He's nearly halfway down on the dock right now.
Don't look at us. Just do it. Otherwise...
Don't you hold up those matches like that, Joel and Gallagher. I'm going.
Is he doing it?
They're talking. The bishop's looking back at the island. Look, the bishop's back on the ship, and there it goes.
Oh, me lads, Julen and Owen Gallagher, me faithful, fearless apostles. I heard about what you did on the dock today.
Oh, Father, we couldn't let one of our own go.
And we couldn't live without more tales of the holy right hook of righteousness.
Oh, well, lads, you've as good as ordained me again.
In that case, can I get you a drink to celebrate, Father?
You know me too well, boys. Of course. Make sure to get some yourselves, too. Bless your boat.
And now it's time for a brief word from Out of the Fire and Into the Frying Pan, a Beaver Island Fireman's Cookbook. Are you tired of having parties where the guests just seem to keep rushing in and the food keeps running out? Do you have dreams of extravagant parties, but you don't seem to have any idea how to keep your guests happy and satisfied? Well, it's time to get sloppy with it. With just 10 pounds of ground meat and at least 2 hours of constant cook time, you can achieve that sprawling party of your dreams. Sloppy Joe's for 40 people is the solution to all your kitchen party woes, available wherever you can get the ingredients. Also, try Monster Cookies. With 2 pounds of brown sugar, a pound of chocolate chips, and over 18 cups of oatmeal, this recipe makes a huge amount! Perfect for satisfying those 40 sweet tooths after their delicious Sloppy Joe dinner.
The following story is inspired from a news article found in the Beaver Beacon issue from July of 1966. It follows the tale of four CMU students and their last few days on the island. Based on factual occurrences, here is CMU End Summer Session, as written by Lindsay Proctor.
Central Michigan University has had a long-standing history with Beaver Island since purchasing lakefront property for $1 in 1942. With countless students venturing to the island for their studies, countless stories have been formed over the years.
Today, we will journey back in time to the summer of 1966, when four CMU students journeyed into Lake Michigan for a fishing trip.
I sure will miss the island when we leave in a couple days.
So will I, Mary, but I'm happy to be done with our studies. These past 8 weeks have been fun, but they've been difficult.
Karen, why are you crying?
I'm just bummed out about leaving. You all have become my closest friends, and the island is like a second home to me.
Karen, you are too dramatic. We're only a phone call away, and you can come and visit the island whenever you want.
I know.
Okay, girls, let's try not to be sad and enjoy the sunshine. It's a beautiful day.
For now, at least. I think there's supposed to be a storm coming in later.
Hey, chicks, what you doing down there?
Why is he running down the beach like that?
Hello.
Gross.
Randy, you spaz. You just kicked sand all over us.
Oh, don't flip your wig, Lisa. And I go by Randall now.
Well, Randall, we were just talking about the end of the term.
Oh, yeah, Karen? What about it?
She's down because she doesn't want to leave the island.
Well, I've been thinking about going on a little adventure before we leave. You dig?
Ooh, what kind of adventure?
I'm thinking we get on the class fishing boat over there and head out towards Hog Island, see what we can catch.
Yes, oh, yes.
It sounds like a terrible idea to me.
I think it would be a blast, Lisa.
Yeah, learn to have some fun.
The weather's supposed to be bad. I don't want the boat to sink.
Aw, come on, Lisa. Don't be a drag.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, we're going with or without you, Lisa. Randall?
Would you just come with us, Lisa? For me?
Fine. I'll go, but when it starts to rain, I told you so.
The skies are blue. There isn't a cloud in sight.
I really don't think it's going to rain.
Let's split then. I'll start the boat. Need a hand, Lisa?
I'm groovy cool guy.
Everyone ready to go?
Karen, don't pretend to push me off the boat. Not cool.
You know I love you. It was just a joke, Mary.
Would you two cats quit messing around?
Don't even try with them, Randy. They're always like this.
She is always like this.
I am not.
Sheesh, quiet down. You're gonna scare all the fish away.
We're not even fishing, Randy.
It's Randall. And I would be if you fools weren't being so loud.
Yeah? With what fishing poles?
You didn't bring fishing poles?
But we did find a deck of cards.
Why would we play cards in a windy boat?
I'll deal us in.
We're not playing cards.
We get the red fives.
Wait. What?
Red is my power color.
What does that even mean, Karen?
Don't worry about it, Randall. She's just wacky.
There go the cards.
For being such a beautiful day, it sure is chilly when the wind blows.
Do you want my jacket, Lisa?
I'm a big girl, Randy. I can take care of myself. That was definitely thunder.
I think Lisa might be right.
I promise it's not.
Karen, I'm pretty sure the weather doesn't care about your promises.
When it starts raining, we're turning back.
With that logic, we'll be out here all night.
I think I just felt a raindrop.
Okay, we're going back to the Beaver Island Center before it gets any worse.
It's just a little sprinkle. It's going to stop in a few minutes.
I like the rain.
It's raining cats and dogs now. We're turning back.
Lisa's right. Let's go.
Ugh. Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Just take a deep breath, Karen. It'll be okay.
These waves are getting really rocky. We need to find land, and fast.
I think we're near Hog Island.
It's okay, everybody. We made it to the island, and no one fell off the boat.
Except for the King of Spades, anyway.
I'll tie the boat up here. Somebody finds some shelter.
And some food. I could eat a whole cow.
I found an abandoned shack over here.
Wow, the windows are boarded up and everything.
So dusty, but it's better than nothing. I'll go tell Randy, and we should probably start a fire.
For sure. I'll collect some wood.
So now you listen to me.
Good news, everyone! I found food! Wait, where did everyone go?
I am soaking wet. Karen, help me get this fire going so we can dry off.
I'm wet, I'm cold, I'm hungry. We're going to die, aren't we?
Boat's all tied up. I'm freezing.
Let's dry off by the fire. Is there a reason there isn't a fire going?
Apparently, Karen is dying.
What a bummer.
I'll just do it.
Lisa, where'd you get those matches? All mine got ruined.
Don't sweat it.
So what's the deal?
I think we're drying off by the fire, Karen.
It's getting really hairy out there. Maybe we should stay here for the night.
Better than risking spending the night underwater.
Karen, are those pickles?
Sweet pickles.
And applesauce.
Karen, you know that's my favorite.
Where did you get food?
And why didn't you tell anyone?
I tried to. Everyone was gone, and then I never got around to it.
We'll pass them around. We're all starving.
I'm exhausted. Let's get some sleep.
We might have to cuddle to keep warm.
Nice try, Randy. It's the middle of July.
Good night. You're my best friends. I'm so happy we spent our last night together.
We love you too, Karen, but we're not dying. Go to sleep.
The four comrades spent the night on Hog Island in the abandoned shack they had found. Their diet consisted of the sweet pickles and applesauce that were found there.
The following morning, we find Professor Boyle and Chief of Police Dana Brown back on Beaver Island.
Well, Professor Boyle, how are things today? What can I help you with?
Well, Chief, things aren't looking too great. We had to cancel the student farewell picnic.
What did you go and do that for? We love the students and all the things they bring to our community.
It seems four of our students have gone missing, Chief.
Missing? We need to find them right away. It's a downpour of rain out there.
My thoughts exactly, Chief. I'm going to board the Chippewa with a few other students to search the water.
I'll call the Coast Guard. We'll search by air and water.
In the said downpour of rain, the island searched for the four missing students. In the end, CMU's own boat, the Chippewa, found the students in good condition on the north end of Hog Island and returned them safely to Beaver Island.
After warm showers and a change of clothes, the group of survivors were more than ready for the farewell picnic. It turns out sweet pickles and applesauce are not a balanced diet.
And now for a brief ad.
These days, it's getting harder and harder to come up with original ideas. Every time you think you have something, you turn around and someone else has already done it. That's why I love my sister Sue's Mexican lasagna, a recipe already created by my sister Sue that I can use and distribute whenever I want. Is her Mexican lasagna good? Who knows? What is Mexican lasagna? Not sure. What matters is she already wrote the recipe, so I don't have to. I just get to sit back and relax. So find my sister Sue's Mexican lasagna today, and out of the fire and into the frying pan. I promise you won't be sorry.
This next tale is The Finest Bowl Ever Raised on Hay, as written by Gray Reynolds. This story was found in a book of folk tunes from Beaver Island, and it comes from a ballad called Turner's Purebred Bowl, written by Clara Schmidt and Charlie Anthony O'Donnell. It tells the story of the bowl owned by Dan Turner, Harlem Gallagher, and Pat Bonner. When a group of cattle buyers come up to the island, a couple of them approach Turner about buying the bull. He turned away the first two, but the third, Jim Curry, was able to convince him to sell the bull after plying him with liquor. Turner had to take the bull into town the next day to send him off to the mainland with Curry, but hadn't broken the news to Gallagher and Bonner and had to tell them on his way to the docks. This story is a dramatization of these events.
In 1940, a group of cattle buyers made their way to Beaver Island in search of cattle and sheep to bring back to the mainland. And Dan Turner, Harlem Gallagher, and Pat Bonner were the owners of the best bull on the island. We find young James Bowery visiting Dan Turner to tell him about the possibility of selling the bull.
Hello there, Dan. Doing well, I hope?
Oh, you know, it could be worse. What brings you here, James?
I've come to tell you some news from town. There's a group of people coming up to the island. They're looking to buy up some of our livestock.
Looking for cattle and sheep and the like?
That's what I hear.
Good luck to the poor fools who will sell to them.
I bet you can make a small fortune off of that bull of yours. You could use the money. You know you could.
Now listen here, James.
Dan, don't be a fool. Everyone on the island knows you could ask a hefty sum for him.
And you know I'm not going to give up that bull. Harlem and Pat share him with me, and I'm not about to up and sell their only way of plowing fields to some strangers from the mainland.
But Dan, you know you've always said he's the finest bull ever raised on hay.
Even more reason for me to keep him then.
But the day the cattle buyers arrived on the island, young James was waiting for them at the docks to tell them about Turner's bull.
Hello! You one of the men looking to buy cattle?
That'd be me. Why do you ask?
You know, there's a man down the way. He's got one of the best bulls you'll ever lay eyes on. They say he's the finest bull ever raised on hay. Might even be a purebred.
The finest bull? A purebred bull here, you say?
That's right. And Dan Turner's the one who owns him. I can take you to him if you want. My truck's right over there.
Really? Well, since you're offering, I'll take you up on the ride.
Well, Jim, here you are.
Thanks for the ride, lad. I'm sure I'll be seeing you later. Hello there, my bully. Are you the gentleman with the cow for sale?
Hmm?
The name's Jim Curry. I was told you had the finest bull on the island for sale.
Now listen, I'm not interested in you cattle buyers. Someone else came by earlier offering $80 for the bull, and I'll tell you the same as I told him. He's not for sale.
$80 also.
Hmm. That man was trying to cheat ya. From what I hear, that bull is the finest ever raised on hay. He's clearly worth at least $100. Now, if you were to sell to me...
He's not for sale. I don't care if you give me $1 or $100.
Oh, come now. He can't be worth that much to you.
Mr. Curry, I'd like to ask you to leave.
Hang on a moment.
What?
I've got a couple of bottles. Let's talk about this over a drink.
Well, I suppose a drink or two couldn't hurt.
And so the two men retired to Dan's house, where they talked for quite a while. After a few hours and more than a few drinks, Dan finally agreed to sell the bull to Jim Curry without consulting Harlem Gallagher or Pat Bonner. The next day, Dan and young James led the bull into town so Mr. Curry could head back to the mainland with his purchase.
Ah, Dan Turner, young James Bowery. What are you two doing in town?
What? Oh, good morning, Harlem. Just here to see the cattle buyers off.
And here I was, thinking that mountains would move before I saw Dan Turner being friendly to the cattle buyers.
Well, old friend, I'm in mighty unusual circumstances today. Never thought I'd see this day myself.
And what might those circumstances be?
Well...
He sold one of your bulls to him. And for a good price, too. Curry's his name.
You didn't.
I'm afraid I did.
That was the finest bull ever raised on hay!
Exactly. That's why you got a good sum for him.
I thought you were never going to part with that bull, Dan. Or at least I thought you'd ask us before selling it.
I know that, and I'm sorry, Harlem. Curry made a good offer. At least, you know, better than others.
And he had two bottles of fine whiskey.
Of course. You never could turn down a good drink. Well, have you broken the news to Pat?
Well, no, not yet.
Well, if you care to let him know, he's down by the boat, docks, playing his fiddle as usual.
Hello, Pat. Good to see you. Oh, well, I guess you should know. You know, I sold our bull. I know. I'll get you your money soon enough. It won't be enough for a new bull, to be sure, but it's better than nothing, hey, Pat? I'm sorry, Pat. Once it's all said and done, we can have a nice long talk about it. But I have to get this bull down to the docks right now, so see you later.
Say, Dan, is that Mrs. Bradley down at the pier?
Dan Turner! I can't believe you sold that bull!
Mrs. Bradley, what are you doing?
Well, with all due respect, Mrs. Bradley, this is my business, and I'll take care of it how I please.
Ah, there's the fine bull. Thank you, lads, for bringing him down here this morning.
Of course.
That bull was the pride and the joy of the island!
Mrs. Bradley, please.
It's all right, my lady.
You think you can waltz onto our island and steal away our finest bull ever raised on hay?
Shut up! Let us do our business in peace!
You're a fool to trade him away, Dan Turner!
Ah, good old Mrs. Bradley.
Well, Mr. Curry, here's the bull. Hope it does you as much good as it's done me.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. It's been a pleasure.
Just take him. I'll be at the pub.
You're a lucky man, Mr. Curry. You've got yourself the finest bull ever raised on hay.
These stories and many others have helped CMU students discover their love for Beaver Island.
Each summer, students come back to the island to explore, learn, and fall in love with the island all over again. Through our researching and exploring, each of us have grown a special fondness for the stories and history Beaver Island holds. We hope that we were able to bring these historical findings to life with our dramatizations of the stories that we found especially interesting. We have a few thank yous. The honor students here would like to thank Kevin Boyle, Stan Jansen, Nick DeLotte, and the Beaver Island Community Center for allowing us to perform our radio drama and record the project. We would also like to thank Lori Taylor Blitz for opening the museums on the island and allowing us to take a deeper look into the island history. Lastly, we would like to thank the Beaver Island Library for all the resources provided that allowed us to discover all the wonderful stories of the island. All the recipes were found from the Beaver Island Fire Department Auxiliary Cookbook.